Right now, it is 16 minutes past 8 o'clock here on 2SER Breakfast. It is time to delve back into the weird and wonderful history of this city of ours and in with Dictionary of Sydney for another week. We are joined by Kathy Perkins. Morning, Kathy.
Hi, Tess.
So what are we chatting about this morning?
Well, we're talking about a writer who was very famous in Sydney in the early 20th century named Zora Cross. And I've just written her biography, a book about her life. So she published a book in 1917, a collection of poetry called Songs of Love and Life that was a major literary sensation at the time. It was published by Angus and Robertson. And people thought that, you know, called her a genius and thought she'd endure as a household name, but she's actually really been mostly forgotten. So my book is about uncovering her work and her life.
That's amazing, because I must admit I hadn't heard her name either. Why do you think it is that she's not that household name that people thought she would be?
Yeah, that's right. I think, we can only remember so many people, I guess, and
True.
Lot of writers have been forgotten. But I think the type of poetry she was writing at the beginning of the 20th century, very emotional love poetry, went out of fashion soon after that. And she just wasn't recovered by critics later on. She wasn't celebrated in the way that she could have been. I think people didn't also see all of her contribution and everything that she'd done. So that was really interesting to find out about her.
So tell me what you did find out about her. Tell me about her life, what she wrote. Tell me about Zora.
Well, I'll tell you too how I discovered her. So okay. I work as an editor at the State Library of New South Wales, and my job there is to edit the library's magazine and other exhibitions and everything the library produces. But about 10 years ago, I was working on an exhibition about early Australian publishing. And I came across a book of letters to and from the publisher George Robertson, who was a huge figure in Australia in the early 20th century and published a lot of the writers like C.J. Dennis and A.B. Patterson, we've all heard about, and ran a big bookshop in the centre of Sydney, where Westfield is now, where the Sydney Tower is. That, you know, for 50 years that was a literary destination, a much loved bookshop. So, yes, I came across these letters to do with Zora Cross's book, Songs of Love and Life, and just found that it had a very interesting publishing story. George Robertson had rejected it at first, but then he came across a self-published version of the book and thought it was amazing, read these quite erotic love sonnets that she wrote, but thought that her artistry and her poetic skill was incredible and that he should publish it. And then what he did was send the manuscript to the artist Norman Lindsay in the Blue Mountains. And Norman Lindsay refused to illustrate the poems because he said that women couldn't write love poetry because their spinal column wasn't connected to the productive apparatus.
What?
So
that's the best excuse I've ever heard.
He did end up producing a cover illustration because he wanted the £22 that he'd be paid to do that.
There it is.
But he later said, you know, one can't illustrate orgasms or something like that. He was a very, you know, his use of language obviously was really compelling. And so I was intrigued by this story of, so, you know, the book had gone on to be really successful, so obviously she'd overcome Lindsay's dismissal, and also that it was during the First World War. It was in 1917, so I thought it was a First World War story that I hadn't heard about, that people were buying this kind of poetry at the same time that they were voting in the second conscription referendum. And then I found also that Zora Cross was a big letter writer and that the State Library where I worked held hundreds of really personal letters that she'd written.
It sounds like her writing was quite risque, I suppose, for both her time and for a woman to be writing. She sounds like a little bit of a trailblazer in that sense.
Yeah, she was. It was really unusual at the time, and I think people appreciated that it was a break from the stuffiness of the previous era, and that maybe it signalled that through the First World War now forms of expression were possible that maybe hadn't been before. So and then she also lived a very unconventional life. So and had children out of wedlock and that kind of thing. So
gasp.
and showed no shame about it. Wrote poems about those experiences. and letters. So we, through that, we have an insight into her struggle as a writer and as a woman, you know, within the society she lived.
So I guess it would be fair to say that a lot of her life did inspire her poems directly then.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So you can see from her letters that her experiences are then being distilled into these poems. But she also felt that she was expressing things for other women as well, that somehow she didn't have so much to lose because she was living outside convention, so she could express things that other women might not be able to.
Oh, old-timey feminism, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think I did see, you know, how much of a feminist she was, and that was one of the surprising things, I think, because she, in the 20s and 30s, she interviewed lots of other women writers and wrote profiles on them for a really popular magazine, the Australian Woman's Mirror. So she really was promoting other women writers and capturing that experience of her colleagues, of her fellow writers at that time.
Well, Kathy, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Tess.
Kathy Bergens with Dictionary of Sydney for another week, chatting Zora Cross, a very popular poet from the 20s and 30s. We will pop a link to Kathy's book for you up in the podcast. You can find that at 2SER.com.